Hey, Coach, welcome back. We're here at the Parent Portal Show. Stephen Nold, Coach James Gumbert. We're being your hosts today and talking about all things youth sports. And it's just another great day to have these discussions. You know, Coach, I wanted to get into just a little bit. We are in this household, we're going through baseball tryouts. It's all fun, you know, and not having done freshman baseball ever before. Actually, we have gone through it one time before with another kid, but a different program that we're working with. This time around, it's just been a little more challenging to understand and appreciate. Well, I guess I do appreciate a lot some of the behind the scenes things that have to happen. You know, kids have got to be at certain places, and I love the analytical, the metric side of the approach on this. You know, I have seen programs in the past where I believe that there was the kids who got on the team because the coach liked them or thought, oh, this kid is a kid I can work with, or, you know, I mean, there's certainly always, you would hope in a program, kids that are talented athletes. But I'm also seeing kids cut that probably didn't need to be cut or didn't deserve to be cut. They weren't the right kids to be cut. I don't try to judge coaches ever. I know they've got to make their own decisions. I feel like in my coaching years, I've tried to make all the right decisions when I coach. I never had to cut kids. So I don't have that burden in my coaching career. And I know that's hard on, you know, coaches tend to be real, they're real good people persons. Let's say that fast three times. So anyway, with all that said, you know, going through the ups and downs daily of trying to figure out where do we need to be? What's the agenda for today? And a lot of that doesn't always, you know, you don't get the schedule. You get told, hey, show up at this time. We're going to try out. 5-day tryouts are kind of interesting. Haven't gone through that before. But, you know, it's been good. The weather didn't help at all. You know, cold, rain. I mean, I froze my tail end off last Friday night till 7 o'clock at night being out on the fields. And I got to tell you, that was not enjoyable.
Bring your family together with a backyard game court from Sport Court of Austin. Moms love Sport Court because it's an active and safe place for the kids to gather. Dads love Sport Court because he gets to play like a kid again. Kids love Sport Court because all kids love to play. So give your kids a safe place to hang out and have fun. Call 512-335-9779 or go to sportcourtofaustin.com for more information. If you build it, they will play.
Wow. Yeah. It brings back a lot of memories because I was a selection coach when I was coaching, and it is, you're a dream maker and a heartbreaker. That's the best way I can say it is that you hold people's dreams in your hands. And, you know, what we always told our athletes and hopefully to the families is like, this is the most important moment you're going to have until we get to the end of this cycle.
Yeah.
Because if you don't come in to this game, this tryout, the best you can be, then why are you waiting? What are you waiting on to be able to show us? You know, it's like, hey, coach, I got you in the end, you know, kind of moment. You know, you hear that a lot, but it doesn't always translate to that, you know, when you're talking about real world stuff. And so you want your athletes coming in to give you absolutely everything that they can at that tryout. And we tell our athletes, you know, you play so good, you force us to take you. Hmm. Don't leave anything, you know, on the table. It's like, you want to make sure you have forced us to say for every reason, pick this player. And it's a very stressful job because any coach worth their salt is going to be in that frame of mind of thinking about not just the athlete, but the person, because I mean, if you've made it to a tryout, you're a good guy. You're a good girl. You know, you've done so much just to earn the invitation to be there. And, sure. And at the end, you don't want to, because, you know, a moment like what you're talking about, that could change the direction of a person for the rest of their lives. Oh, and yeah. It's not, you shouldn't as a coach enter into that moment lightly, because it is one of the hardest things as a coach I ever did was after we selected the team is to go and talk to the ones that didn't make it. Mm. And then look at them and say, I'm sorry, this wasn't your moment for whatever reason. And they want reasons and they need reasons, because you want them to come back hungrier, better, faster, stronger, all those different things, and make the next team. It is, you know, the differences between making an elite team and making and not making it they're small sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, for what we're talking about here, you know, high school and coming in and trying to make a team, it's tough because you got kids from all over your school district coming in. And if you got a big school district, these are people you're going to see that night at, you know, at a restaurant. These are people you're going to see. And it's like, you know, do you talk to it? All those awkward moments come off of a decision that the coach made or the selection committee made. And it's a challenge. And so, yeah, hats off to you as a parent being in the middle of it, you know. It's what can I do to help my kid, you know? And every parent should feel that way. It's like you want to help your kid be the best they can be. So,
yeah. You know, I went through and did get cut. I didn't make the varsity Odessa Permian football team my junior year. I know I've told this story. And I will tell you, it was wasn't a great feeling, but it wasn't the end of the world. I mean, it kind of felt like the end of the world later when I really kind of realized I wasn't going to be with most of my friends playing ball. I was on the JV team as a junior, which is just not, you know, you're either good enough to make the varsity or not. So that hurt, but I worked through it, and it did. It impacted me so greatly, and I overcame that. And it made me so desperate to prove the coaches wrong, to put me down on the JB. And, you know, my story is I did well. You know, I went on and played real well my senior year and all that, made all state and all that kind of silliness. But I will tell you, it is probably more heart-rendering to watch your kid go through that.
Yeah.
It's tough. Well, but I will say, it is very, wonderful to have a grading system that's transparent in place. And I talk, go ahead.
No, I mean, I feel like you're saying the parent side and I'm saying the old, you know, selection committee side, and it can't be subjective. It has to be objective. And, you know, when you can go to somebody and go, this person ran a 4.740.
Yep.
And you ran a 5.1. That's something that you look in the mirror and go, okay, I've got to get faster. You know, as opposed to like, you know, that side of like, well, plays his role well. That kind of moment is like, that's like talking about an elephant in a dark room. You're going to get a lot of different answers of what's in there, you know, as opposed to like going, that's a 5, that's a 4, that's a 3, whatever it is. Because the subjective part is tough in selection of athletes. And sometimes that's what it comes down to. You have an athlete that runs a 4.7 and another one that runs a 4.7, and you're going, what was the thing, coach, that, you know, separated me? And you go, he was a better fit. What's that? You know, the fit is like, it could be anything from cultural to like, you know, he was a better student, whatever it is. And it's very subjective in that kind of moment. And that's the part you want you want to be able to give the athlete, like you, when you were going through what you went through, you want to give them something that they get fired up about and they get mad. Sure. And they go, next time you see me, I'm going to force you to pick me because I'm going to run a 4.5.
Yeah.
And it worked. It worked for you.
Yeah, it worked for me. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I ended up talking to a kid last night that's going through this process. And he kind of had the attitude he wasn't going to make the team. I mean, he had already, you know, and he was just telling me a little bit about the numbers he wasn't getting and stuff like that. And the fact that he knew it, you know, was just, that's not old school. You know, old school is you kind of keep it behind the, keep it on your sheet, but you don't really give that kind of final thing. But for the kids to know, you know, they step in the cages right now and they're getting exit velocity scores. They're getting, you know, their time trials, they're running, they're, you know, there's just so many layers of grading going on that at the end of the day, the numbers kind of prove themselves. Now, I'll tell you, you can't measure a kid's heart. You know, I don't know how a coach would go around figuring that all out. But it is an incredible ingredient. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just pointing at that sign right behind me.
For nearly 50 years, Town and Country Sports has been the heartbeat of youth sports in North Austin, promoting fair play, sportsmanship, and most importantly, fun. TNC Sports is for kids of all ages, no matter the skill level, and we encourage the whole family to get involved. Right now, registration is open for soccer, flag football, baseball, girls volleyball, softball, lacrosse, and more. Space is limited. Don't wait. Sign up today at tncsports.org. TNC Sports. Come play with us.
Passion. You can't teach passion. You cannot teach passion.
And you can't measure it. You can see it.
No, you
see it. I know it when I see it on the fields, but you cannot measure it.
No, it is something that is, you just wish you had everyone on your field that had, you know, just buckets of passion. And it is such an incredible thing to have on a team or just as an, you know, as an athlete, individual athlete, it is huge.
You think Alabama had a few kids with some passion on their team?
Yeah, maybe just a little bit. You know, you see it, right? And it's, you got a 5-star athlete. You didn't become a 5-star athlete because you were just a good runner. You're a 5-star athlete because you do everything great, and there's that something special, and that usually involves a little bit of that passion.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say it that way, and I'm sorry that was a poor transition into talking about Alabama and Saban, but you know, leading into what you just said really caught me because I remember one of these quarterback coaches that we worked with a little bit, and he said, "Look, you know, when you first start out, there's talent and there's hard work." And he said, hard work will get you, you know, early years, hard work will get you to kind of where the talent is because the talent isn't developed yet. But that talent starts to take over and they get better and better. But he said, but the real cream of the crop, the real kids that are going to be that ultimate, you know, you insert the word D1 player if you want, I don't know, but is the talented kids that add the hard work, those are the kids that are going to really come to the top of the insert your metaphor here, top of the bowl.
Well, you think about it. If you are at home as a parent and you hear a basketball bouncing in your driveway at 10 PM or 6 AM every day, you may have something because that is a kid that is, you know, she could be doing anything they wanted to be, you know, wanted to be doing. And they're out there shooting baskets at that time. That's motivation. That's passion. It's not something that you can measure, but all that energy is pushing them to be the best that they could be. And like you said, I mean, at some point that talent is going to engage. And, you know, if you hear these stories about, well, this player didn't start playing basketball until he was a junior in high school. And then all of a sudden, boom, that's that story right there, you know. And parents, if you're hearing basketballs in your driveway and, you know, it's 10 o'clock, you may have something there, you know. You might want to go out and smile and take those moments in.
Yeah, keep on it, right? Well, and okay, Coach, you heard it from me. I'm sure no one has ever said it in these terms, but you know, you got talent and you got hard work. How does passion fit into that? Passion is the fuel for that hard work. If they've got the passion, the hard work is just a part of the equation. How about that?
You write that down. One of the things we always taught was, you come with passion, we'll teach your performance, and we'll get you to the podium.
There you go. Love it. This is the Parent Portal Show.
You've seen prices rise from the dinner table to the pump, but Allstate agents are seeing ways to save you money on insurance. From starting a new policy to bundling coverage or even driving safely, Allstate agents know how to maximize your savings. They'll share their knowledge as they help you personalize your coverage. Because when it comes to seeing all the ways to save, Allstate agents do it best.
Mike Hammer has over 35 years as an Austin area Allstate agent. Call 512-343-6994. Or visit MikeHammer at Allstate.com.
Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Saban's brought a few to the podium, hadn't he?
Yeah, Coach, you know, he has just left an incredible legacy in everything that he's done. And he has set the bar very high for so many. And see him step out and step away, it has left a void that will be filled.
Yeah.
In the same moment, it is something that is, it's the ripple effects are amazing.
You know, one of his prodigies, Deion Sanders, made an observation that with Saban retiring, it really kind of shook up the NCAA. And if you look at the three cornerstone programs that just got disheveled the moment that Saban retired. Not only was it Alabama, right, because of Saban leaving, but now Washington because of DeBoer moving into the Alabama spot, and then Arizona because of the head coach heading out there. The challenge is, and this is where it just gets – the NCAA just does so many wrong things right now. The challenge is it's all at the wrong timing for some of the best programs in the country.
You think he did that on purpose?
That Saban did that on purpose? No, I don't think his heart's at that spot.
No, wait, so do you think that Coach is a – well, let's ask it this way. Do you think that he is a – he is a Alabama first kind of person. He's not, you know, he coached at LSU and pretty good there, right? But is he an Alabama first kind of person at this point?
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Now you're conspiracy theories. Yeah. I love them, Coach.
Yeah,
let's get into that.
Think about
wow.
it. So
that's pretty impressive. So
the story behind the story that I kind of feel is there is, you know, he was in a place. And they've talked about this. Is like, you know, when did you make the decision? Because he called a team. There was a team meeting called where he made the announcement. And an hour before, he was doing Zoom call interviews with assistant coaches.
Okay.
And that's like documented. And so
to talk about what you've lost me here.
About filling positions on the Alabama staff where assistant coaches had gone on to other programs, right?
Okay.
Not
so
not
he was recruiting.
He was recruiting.
Okay.
He was recruiting coaches, players, everything else. And
okay.
So in an hour later, he makes a decision that he is done. Yeah, it 100% could happen. And there's a lot of reasons why it could happen, probably should have happened. But if he knows that kind of moment, what a last kind of jab at the NIL and the portal transfer and all that stuff that's probably pushed him out, that he could give a gift back some way to Alabama. Now, I don't know how big that gift is, because he lost a truckload of Alabama, you know, people that went and said, hey, we're transferring. Not that they weren't going to transfer before, but they have transferred, and then he lost recruit. You know, Alabama lost recruits off the out of the high school. So, I mean, it's a little bit of conspiracy with this, but it's like, man, what a way to just send a giant message. And I mean, did it send a message? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, so you're saying, hey, he decided to create this chaos kind of in the way he did it. And I can see that a little bit. I think, you know, he did hate NIL. There's no doubt about it. He was not. Yep. And he didn't hate it. He hated the way it was being implemented, or lack of implementation. And he said that. I mean, we've got, gosh, we pull up 100 articles about that.
Yep.
No worries. Now, my conspiracy brain went to, okay, Saban still has a LSU heart that he's going to torpedo Alabama out of the contention for next year, because he wants LSU to step up into that void. Wow, coach, you're saying a lot there. Man. You better get your security guards in front of the front door. Yeah, they'll come at you soon.
Roll Tide.
Yeah. Wow. Well,
I think where I was going with it was more from the Alabama side of him saying, like,
yeah,
this is a way that I can not stick it to Alabama, but like to every to your point, everybody that's in the portal now, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
That I mean, there's good athletes there, but none of the big athletes that made the splash beforehand. Yeah,
only two top five. Only two.
Yeah. So and, if and you they, look back,
that was a week ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you look back early January, when you know, obviously the games are finishing, and he could have announced that night, I'm done. I'm so done with all of this. You know,
but I don't think he could, because if he had done that, I think those players would still announce that they were going into the portal. I think he had to wait until the football playoff games were over.
That's what I'm talking about. After.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, coach. It's crazy.
In my opinion, it was a way that he was going to try and help hold on to what Alabama had and not lose anymore, as opposed to just be total chaos. And I think if he stayed, he would have lost more.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think him staying would have held on to a lot of kids. I think he, you know, maybe I think the dollars would have appeared. I think he would have held on to a lot of the kids that went into the transfer portal. A lot of those kids left because he left. Caleb Downs, I do not think would have left Alabama.
I agree. I agree with that one. I totally agree.
You know,
I
mean, that kid's such a fringe.
He's from Alabama. He's not going anywhere else at a moment. Yeah.
He would have stayed. Absolutely would have stayed. That's a ripple effect, as you and I both know. So, I just think that it's a shame that the timing was all screwed up this year. They'll fix it. They have to fix it. You can't let your CFP teams get crushed while the portal's going on, if changes are going to happen, you know, so they'll fix that. I'm pretty confident in that. Well, so what about Lane Kiffin, you know, with Ole Miss? I mean, he was killing it in the portal and the recruiting that they were doing. And now Ohio State has really stepped up. They seem to be doing a better job.
Well, Lane Kiffin really kind of showed a pathway for everyone last year, you know, and how you can go out and find these skill set positions and, you know, put them together and build a really strong team. And I mean, I believe they finished top 10. If they weren't 10, they were 11.
I thought it was higher than that. I thought they were. Well, no, you're right. I think Ohio State's one in the portal efforts?
Is I was thinking about how they finished this past year.
Oh, okay.
In 2023, just in their college football rankings. And
Okay.
And then you look at how they are with their teams and their recruiting and the portal transfers. And it's their direct correlation to their performance, you know, and their rankings is because you've gotten really good athletes. All of a sudden, you start playing better. And I think he's shown that pathway. And to that point, he's done a really good job with it again this year. He is going to continue to work the system. He is a great example of somebody is comfortable in being uncomfortable in all this chaos. He gets it, you know, and you look at him and you say, wow, who's going to be the next Lane Kiffin out there? And there's, I mean, Deion Sanders is number one in my book. He is, you know, he is that kind of that recruiter slash coach slash coordinator all built into one. And oh, by the way, he's a marketer out of this world, you know, and
right.
He is going to be he and Kiffin and they're going to be others, you know, and they're you will see the ones that are not that struggle. They just will have average seasons because they will not have those impact players. And if they do have impact players, they're going up against much different programs than they have in the past.
Buying or selling a home is a bit of a challenge in today's changing Austin market. If you're moving to Austin or selling in Austin, you need to reach out to one of my long-term friends and the guy who helped me, Chris Ott, with the Ott Group of Keller Williams Realty. I needed a professional with knowledge of the Austin area, and Chris was the right agent for the job. Chris, his business partner, Teresa Ott Bissot, and their team have helped thousands of people. The Ott family is celebrating over 35 years in Austin and plan to provide their real estate services for many more years to come. Their mantra is, your move matters, and that is what they focus on. Go to their website at theottgroup.com and get connected with professionals dedicated to taking care of you. That's theottgroup.com. You can also call 512-222-6881 or email them at info@theottgroup.com to get connected with them today. Let them know that Stephen with the Parent Portal Show sent you and start working on your next move.